Hey, I'm Andrew. I'm the lead pastor at Mountain Park Church. This is the Mountain Park Church podcast, and today's episode was a conversation between a number of women together live on Mother's Day in our church. We're just a local church in the Niagara Falls region of Ontario in Canada. I know that you're going to be encouraged by this today, especially if you are a woman listening to this. We have women on this panel who have lost children, who have lost husbands, who have navigated the complexities of adoption and blended families and all of that. These are godly women who have experienced a significant amount, and they are just sharing their wisdom and insight into what it's like to, in the real world, to follow Jesus as a wife, a mother, a widower, a grieving mom, a mom dealing with the complexities of blended families and all of that stuff. And I'm praying that as you listen to this today, whatever it is you're walking through in your own life, whatever real stuff is going on, my prayer for you today is that you would experience and encounter the living presence of Jesus. He is so good. He loves you. And whatever it is you're walking through, He has a way through and a way forward. We love you too. Welcome to this next episode in our podcast.
Can you just tell us first, as you we've introduced you, just like what stage of motherhood you're at in this moment, and maybe one of the greatest joys or unexpected things you've come across? I don't care who goes first.
Okay, so, I'm in the stage of empty nest, and I would say that I thought that was going to be easy. I don't know, I just did not expect to get so caught by how challenging that has been on many levels. So just to tell you a little bit about how I became a mom, kind of in a unique way, I have the amazing privilege and blessing of being an adoptive mom. And my adoption story was in two parts, two different ways. So dealing with infertility in my first marriage and coming to know that my former spouse medically was not able, we weren't able to have children. And so we started, you know, down the road of adoption. It happened incredibly fast. It was a beautiful and God thing. And when my oldest daughter, who is now 35, was 47 hours old, they laid her in my arms for the very first time. And I fell in love. So then when she was 12, I then became an adoptive mom again in a very unique way to two older full biological sisters. And they were 4.5 and 23 months at the time. And it was an incredible blessing, but not an easy journey. The adoption was finalized legally to me as a single mom. So it's been a journey, lots of beautiful blessings in it all as well.
Yeah, thank you, Tracy.
So I'm not sure if many of you know my story, but I'm a single mom. First time by choice, second time not by choice. I have two children. My older son, Blair, he's 20. He lives with his grandmother. And my younger son, Ben, he's 13. We lost his father in 2017. So my journey has been an up and down kind of redemption road and a lot of tears along the way. So I'll be sharing more about that.
Thank you, Julie. And Lori.
Okay. And I'm at the other end of the journey. We have four children. They're all married. And the biggest unexpected pleasure, I guess, is the 16 grandchildren that we have. Our oldest daughter lives out in Saskatchewan, but the other 13 are, the 13 grandchildren are here, so.
Wow. That's so great. Thank you, Lori. So,
can I add something?
Yeah.
I am also a grandma, a Nana Oma, and I have 6 grandchildren. I now have a blended family. So my husband, Andrew, which many of you know, I have 3 daughters, and he has 5 daughters. So together we have 8 daughters.
Wow.
So 3 of them are married, and we have 6 grandchildren. So yeah, that's another piece of motherhood. I'm not their mother, but I have had the privilege of speaking into Andrew's daughters' lives as well, and that's been amazing. Yeah.
That's so beautiful. And an important note, because again, uniqueness of family is the story of reality, right? It's not just all this cookie cutter way, as you all know, for whatever's happening in your day today. So let's just talk about one of the best memories or piece of advice maybe that you got through your own mom. I don't know, Tracy or Lori, if you want to start.
Okay. Growing up, I was blessed to have a mom that was able to stay home. And the thing, it's not a specific memory of something that she did other than just that she was there. She didn't have to work, so you'd come home from school, you'd say, Mom, and you were just comforted and felt safe because she was there. I didn't really even necessarily want to talk to her. I just knowing that she was there and available if needed.
Yeah, that's incredible. The steady presence, right? And obviously that reminds me like of a million things just about God and his steady presence when we talk about the presence in our lives. That's such a profound thing. Not doing a whole lot, but just being present. So thanks. Tracy, did you want to comment on a memory?
For my mom, I have a beautiful memory that came, I don't know, just as we were preparing for this. And I was so thankful because my mom was a single parent and she was raising 6 kids on her own. And so she was working full time. So, you know, we'd come home from school and we didn't have that presence there, but there were ways that she did her best. And I just am so appreciative. And so there was one summer where she, you know, made it happen that she rented a cottage somewhere up north. And I was about maybe 10 and my youngest brother would have been 8. That's around the age, I think. And she made a sand castle with us. And it was the most incredible, magical sand castle. And I never knew my mother was a creative person. And in that moment, she was like, well, Tracy, go get, you know, those flowers on the ridge there and bring some of those and we'll add that to the castle. And then, you know, Dale, go get some shells and we're going to make a moat, you know, and there's feathers over there. And I just remember her being so present in that moment. Wow. And it was very meaningful because it didn't happen in that way all that often. Yeah. So
that's such a treasure. Isn't it interesting how sometimes as we get older and we're not in that home or family of origin, that God will often bring to mind things that were there and present in our childhood with parents or grandparents that we forgot about or didn't know, to just remind us of his loving care. I want to point out something just from a child development perspective, because I can't help myself with this, and the wonder and awe of God through play. As I have the privilege of meeting with some of the moms with under 6 children once a month for the last year, you know, sometimes mothering is so serious, and we're going to talk about some of those expectations in just a second, but, you know, sometimes some of the most profound things we can do in relationship is be present, and sometimes play and be joyful and experience the awe and wonder of the simplest things in life and how profound of a memory that can be in someone's life. So I want to encourage you with that as well, that it's not all about being that super spiritual, you know, person all the time, but sometimes the most incredible things are through the simplest of things that we can offer others as well. So thank you for that story. Julie, I want to hear from you on something special from your mom.
So I just want to give you a scripture for context. James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. And this is speaking into my life because I was a prodigal daughter for over 25 years. I grew up in the church, but it was very legalistic and religious, a lot of law and not a lot of love. And so, unfortunately, I didn't know about relationship. And I turned my back on the church when I was a teenager. And I just lived a life of lies that are self-sufficiency and feminism. And so there was a lot of trauma through sin and turning my back on faith. And my mom never stopped praying for me for 25 years. Mom, will you stand up, please? So I just want to thank you, Mom. Today. Yeah. Thank you, Mom.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be here to share my story if my mom wasn't always praying for me to come back. And I know that I just want to encourage every mom or dad praying for a wayward child that just God sometimes plays a long game, but don't give up. Yeah. Because even if it is a long story and it doesn't seem like there's hope, God is writing a redemption story. And the longer that it goes, the bigger the testimony that comes out. And that testimony can change the lives of people I've come across. And so even your wayward children, they'll have a testimony one day that will change hearts for others. So just don't stop praying.
Thank you. I just want to pause on this for a quick second because maybe you can relate all too well to either side of being Julie's mom or being in that place of not really knowing where you're at with life or the church or what you think about God and don't sense his presence or goodness in your life. But thank you for the encouragement that never stopping, never giving up, just like God's love, he says, always endures, always hopes. He keeps pressing through. And can I just mention that some women in our church through the prayer room there's an initiative going to happen this fall for you to get involved in exactly this, in praying for the next generation, praying for your own kids, starting in September. Sylvia and Shelley are going to lead into this. So I want you to consider doing this once a month in the body for our next generation because we need each other and prayer is powerful. We see the result of it in the fact that Julie can sit up here. And so thank you for sharing that. That's so wonderful. So as we move into our next question, you know, that is a simple way that you can be involved in the family, right? We're not meant to do it alone. And God built us from birth for relationship, for care, and community. There's very practical and tangible ways we can support each other. So into our next questions, how important has it been for you guys to have connection and support from other godly people as you raise a family? Do you want to start, Tracy?
Well, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. And so my parents, were divorced since I was really young. And lots of, dysfunction and lots of difficult hard things. And so when I became a mother, I have to say that as I got older, I came to appreciate my mother more. But in those early days, as a late 20-year-old, I was like, I need to look around. And I was a new believer, and I'm like, I need the influence of other Christian women. So I actually had a new friend who, as I observed her, she was such a wonderful mother. And she really helped me and encouraged me. And then I was part of a small group in my church with lots of couples that were young families that had young children. And I just was so kind of a little bit in awe, to be honest with you. And I was like, that's what I want. I want to be that kind of mom. So it was really, really important for me to have the body to look to and other women to learn from about mothering.
Oh, that's incredible. Thank you. Lori?
When our kids were young, we were living in Pickering at the time. And I think my most enjoying moments are the connections I had with different moms in the church. We would meet, we'd get together almost weekly. In the summertime, in the nice weather, we'd meet at the park with the kids. If it was raining or it was winter, we'd go to the one McDonald's playground that was there. They were new at the time. We'd bring our own snacks, we'd buy a coffee, and we would literally sit there for 2 hours and visit, and the kids would play, and you'd realize that the things that your kids were doing, other kids were doing, and when you'd see one of the other kids getting in trouble, you were like, yes, it's not my kid this time. But you were just able to bounce things off each other back and forth, and knowing that you had the connection of faith as the background as well.
That's amazing. The McDonald's Play Center. How many of you were raised in the McDonald's Play Center? No. Bringing your own snacks. They don't let you do that probably anymore. That's so great, Lori. Julie?
So I just want to speak for a bit about my younger son, Ben. Because we lost his father, he was only 4 at the time. And I felt, at the time, I wasn't saved. And you get this worldly pressure that it's your responsibility to provide a father. And so I felt like I needed to do that, but it wasn't in God's will. And then once I came to faith again and started leaning in, the Lord showed me in the same way that he's my good father, that he can be my son's good father. And that he doesn't necessarily need to have an earthly representative, because every time that my son has needed a man to come alongside him, the Lord has sent community into our life, strong men of faith, and also really great pastors online that have sermons on young men and what marriage, love, relationship, things that young men need to know. And it's just spoken into Ben's heart in a way that even though they're not as often, it's more powerful. And so I can trust the Lord will always be his good father in a way that's so far beyond what I could provide, and that I can just kind of let that pressure go.
Yeah. Wow, that's incredible.
I have a verse to go with that.
Yes.
Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you.
Okay, we can trust him no matter what situation we find ourselves in. That is a really practical reminder. Thank you for being willing to learn that lesson as well, to rely on him. So what, as we know, motherhood is not all, you know, giggles and everything being in place, and children are a blessing from God, but the journey we've been asked to steward is filled with all kinds of surprises, some disappointments, challenges, as you've already alluded to. But as you personally, I believe that there's many things we can learn from each other. How have those things challenged you or pushed you to rely more deeply on God? Lori, can I ask you to start?
The biggest thing that comes to mind for us started at the very beginning of motherhood. Our first child was stillborn at term, and that wasn't what we had expected. It was a surprise. But life is full of loss, and it's a normal part of life. And for us, it was easy to continue to trust God, to know that he had the bigger picture. He knew what that was. We also had another loss later on. It's funny, I'm also a nurse, and I'm still working. And I took a course this week about infant loss in pregnancy. And one of the biggest things that the parents had said was that they wanted acknowledgement for the child that they had lost. And over the years, for Mike and I, when we're asked, oh, how many children do you have? We say 4, when in fact we really have 6 children. So I guess what I'm saying is that when you have loss in your life, there's a choice. And I can't imagine facing what we faced without the Lord. And a verse that was really important to us all through life was Isaiah 41:10, where he says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand."
Yeah, thank you, Lori. It sounds to me like when we go through loss and grief, you never forget and you never stop loving even through loss. And it is complicated and more complicated. I think there's a lot of stories in the room that you have no idea what's under the surface. You often only see what's visible and exposed. And so thank you for sharing those things in unseen. And just the acknowledgement of that, and that God always sees and hears. There's story after story of him seeing and meeting women saying, "I saw that, I know that, I heard that," right? So thank you for sharing that verse and just that close to your heart. Who wants to go next? Challenges? Surprises, disappointments, challenges.
The Lord's been showing me more and more, chipping away, like I was speaking earlier about self-sufficiency, chipping away at the belief that I would have all the answers and that I'm required to meet every need. That's so not true. Because once I have the faith to know that my Father will provide every need that I have, sometimes supernaturally, it's been growing my faith so much to just see that happening in my life. So I got laid off, and it's not a bad thing. I actually prayed for a break, and the Lord gave me a break in a way where I can still have my bills paid, but I have some time to breathe. Health problems and stress were just getting at me, and I have a lot of things that he's put on me to take care of in my life, and I just needed more time for that. And so it's been unexpected to be off work, to be able to be there for my son. He's got a lot of homework these days, and I can just be more present with him in a way that I always wanted to. I wanted to homeschool. I just couldn't do it. And so now I have that time. Wow. Yeah, it's been a joy, because even though it's hard and there's some tears, I can just really encourage him and just try to be with him in this.
Wow. Yeah. So creative, right? Not always what we expect, but yeah, that's great. Thank you. What about you, Tracy?
Well, there are challenges. There have been challenges. I was thinking when we were worshiping earlier, that one song where we were saying, you know, "You are so faithful, God. You've been right there by my side." And that's why I lift both my arms in praise and in thankfulness, in gratitude, because that is what I know to be true. He has been right there by my side. And, you know, when I think about all the ways that I've messed up, all the mistakes that I've made as a parent, that weighs on you sometimes. That feeling of, I really screwed that up, and I blew that one. And, you know, I don't know, it just weighs on you at times, right? And so even right now, like having my daughters, so my two younger daughters are in their 20s, and that's an interesting generation. my oldest daughter is 35, and I prayed for probably about 7 or 8 years that we would grow closer, and that's happening. God has blessed me with that, a real change in that in the last 3 or 4 years. But with my younger daughters, it's difficult. It's challenging. I was describing to an old friend the other day that it's like a puzzle, right? And there's the frame. Let's say you have like a 500-piece puzzle, and you do the frame first, and then you start filling in all the pieces. And so those pieces are complicated, and nothing's ever all one color, right? So, Yeah, it's a challenging time, and there are blessings in it too. Yesterday morning, I had an unexpected visit from my youngest daughter. Brought me this beautiful plant, gigantic hydrangea plant, very unexpected. You know, stood in my door and gave me a big hug and told me she loved me four times, which was like, yeah, pretty much the best Mother's Day gift I could have had in that moment. So, yeah, it is challenging. I don't know. It's just parenting is challenging. And my very best friend in the whole entire world is never been a mother, was not blessed with children. And I just cannot tell you how I have watched her walk through that journey. And even this morning, she was the very first person to send me a text to say, Happy Mother's Day. And I just said, you are the most thoughtful, caring person. And she just loves on her grandnieces and nephews, and she loves on all the young moms that she knows. And she works in a ministry called City Kids in Hamilton, and it's all about inner city kids. Hamilton, the most poverty-stricken, second most poverty-stricken city in all of Canada. And she loves on those kids, and it's amazing, amazing. So I'm so thankful to know her and to watch that example.
That's such a good thing to acknowledge, is there is a role in the family of God for each one of us, and that sometimes looks a little different or unique, but I think as we invite the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into who he would have us walk in deeper relationship, and also to receive and look around to invite people into your story that have gone before you or a different experience to show us from a new lens, show us in a new way. Can we just talk on this subject of inadequacy for just one more minute and sort of the grace of God in our inadequacies? Because I think that in general, I would say people want to do a good job at whatever they're doing in their job. And mothering seems to be one of the highest cost, highest value jobs that you do for free. Nobody's paying you. Nobody's giving you a certificate to say, like, you did a good job, or you get a bonus at the end of the year. And sometimes we think Mother's Day is supposed to be the bonus. Like, okay, everybody give me the paycheck, give me the wonderful accolades and all the things I deserve for all the things you did through the year. And often that absolutely doesn't happen. The things you expect should happen sometimes. The thankfulness, the gratitude, the, you know, oh, wow, you're the best thing ever in the world. That can be disappointing when we set our hopes and expectations based on that rather than serving and loving one another. But how much grace does it take for ourselves, I think, for the roles we've each been called to in whatever picture that looks like? Can we talk about the inadequacies and how to overcome those for a minute?
Being a mother, you don't get any lessons. It's just a learn on the fly kind of thing. And if you have more than one child, the oldest child is the experiment. And by the time you have the youngest child, you're probably doing things a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But all along the way, you're thinking, like Tracy said, oh, why did I do that? Or, oh, I could have done that better. Or, that was different. But then your children get older and are adults, and they honestly don't remember those things where you screwed up. At least my kids don't, thankfully. Or if they do, they don't tell you. But as you're learning, if you're trusting in God, he's helping you through those things. Mm. He's walking with you, and he gives us grace when we fail to him. So we also need to learn to give ourselves grace when we mess up with our kids. And don't be afraid to tell them, I was wrong. I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. Kids are very forgiving.
Thank you. I'm hearing and learning and reminding myself of these things. When I was first a mother, working with families, I was 35, and boy, the expectations I had of myself were pretty high. And my husband would say, you know, there's grace. And I was like, I'm not sure that there is, because I can see how I've been given the role of imparting all of these things for these little people, and I'm responsible for how they turn out. And I think if we hold all of those responsibilities and eggs alone, it is a very difficult thing to continue to live life like that with everything resting on your shoulders. And so as God teaches me in his grace, that I can receive the grace of Jesus as well for the mistakes, and to be able to say, like, who am I? You know, the song we sang, like Tracy was alluding to, is to let yourself off the hook. Sometimes lower the bar. I heard somebody say a while ago, sometimes you got to lower the bar, because often we'll set a bar so high we can't even jump over that. And so remembering the grace of God, and I'm so thankful for those lessons that we can see through each other and the reminders of, you know, sometimes that bar needs to like go up a little and challenge yourself. And then sometimes we've just got to take it down a notch as well in whatever that role is that we're taking on so tightly, and without the reliance of the Holy Spirit, really is one of the biggest lessons I've learned is, oh, he wants to help me in this job too. Wow, I can rest more easily in that. What about you, Julie? Is there anything about the grace and inadequacy?
Yeah, I think we are our own worst enemy. We're always rethinking how we handled a parenting situation and just beating ourselves up about how we could have been a better example. And I think back as well to, you know, when I look at my parents when I was young, and they would make mistakes. And I think the hardest part for me was the lack of communication. We really should have just been open, more open with each other. And I realized as a parent that I don't want to push my son away from faith because he sees me worshiping God and praying and doing the things that we do as Christians, but that I need to really humble myself, especially with him, and just be honest with him. Yes, I made a mistake, and I'm sorry, but it's more than I'm sorry. Just telling the truth about what I did that I know wasn't right. And by doing that, it brings us closer. And when we've had it out, just being open with him about my feelings has just squashed whatever kind of tension there is in the house, and we're able to kind of move past an argument. And I just really want to encourage that. And also for my older son, I realized he's a wayward child, and I pray a lot for him. And someone has brought to my mind that I needed to pray differently. And we should always be praying, but we should be searching for new ways to pray. And we can get those from the Lord, but we can also get them by confessing to one another, because other Christians may have an encouraging word about how we pray. And something that hadn't occurred to me was, even though my son pushes me away, he doesn't return my emails, he doesn't want to talk, I've prayed that the Lord would send faithful believers into his life that will plant seeds and speak truth over him in ways that he won't allow me to. But I can surrender my children to God, because really they're not even mine, they're his. And I'm just a steward of my children. But it's really for him. And so when I let it go, it's like holding a sand in your hand. When you hold sand tightly in a fist, it just falls right out of your hand. But when you hold sand with an open hand and you let go of the desire to control your children or what they're doing or to just have a say in any way, you just give it to God. They'll be in your hand still.
Yeah. Wow. That's a good, yeah, a good image. How important is surrender? How important is release? Not always holding everything so tightly. Wow, that's a life lesson. Thanks for bringing that up.
Thank you, Julie. That encourages me. I needed that reminder today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any final thoughts, encouragements, even not just as a parent, but in our walk with Jesus, in just like doing this thing called life and wanting to do it well? Closing remarks.
Well, first of all, what would we do without Jesus? That's how I feel. I mean, he has been so faithful, and I don't know, he meets us right in our most painful moments. We can invite him into those, right? Right into them, like, you know, and we can, yeah, like he there's nothing he doesn't know, but he wants us to, like, intentionally invite him into those difficult moments, those challenging moments, you know, those joyful moments, you know. Yeah, I can remember being at my middle daughter's wedding and picturing, literally having to picture Jesus sitting at the table, you know, with us in that moment. So yeah, it's so important. And one another, like one another, we need one another to, you know, like I just made eye contact with someone across the room who I know knows my story. And it just means so much to see those knowing eyes looking at me, right? We all need one another. So we got to share our stories. Yeah. We got to be real. Yeah.
That is so important. You know, in a society where we're supposed to be more connected than ever, we're often so disconnected and we don't hear. And that's why a morning like this is so, kind of gets us out of ourself a little bit, out of our own rhythm, our own cycle, and into the broader community. And yeah, this is, thank you. That's so good to be known and heard by other people, right? Some of us are like, we only trust God or we only trust one other person, but it does take a risk. It is challenging to move into community, to trust other people in the body, but it's so good when we can make that leap, right? Is there anything you'd like to share, Lori?
Motherhood is full of stages and different seasons, and you're always going into the next season, and your children become adults, and you think, oh, we made it, we're done. But that's not the case. You still have worries, you still have concerns, you have joys as you watch them parent and the successes that that you see. I'm also caring for my mom right now, who's 91, and the other day she was saying to me, my parents are both believers, and so prayer has always been very important to them. As a child, I remember seeing them kneel by their bed every night and pray. And I know my mom prays daily for each of her kids and for her grandchildren. She prays by name and her great-grandchildren. But she said to me a couple weeks ago, I think I'm done. And I said, Mom, you still have purpose. You still are praying for us. Who's going to do that when you go? So there's purpose right up until the very end.
That's so important. Thank you. There's something you can do. And also for us to carry the mantle. All of us potentially are not here by accident. It's because somebody prayed us here today. And honoring that even today is just a good reminder, Lori. If somebody was going before us in a generation before us praying for us. Closing thoughts, Julie? Encouragements? Or
Isaiah 30:21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. We're always trying to hear from God, and there's so much going on, and I think more than ever. There's so many voices, and it's hard to discern which voice is him, which one is the enemy, which one is your own. Mm-hmm. And I just want to encourage anyone who's having trouble hearing from the Lord to ask him to be more clear with you. I always say, you know, Lord, I'm kind of stubborn and hard-headed, and my mind just goes a million miles a minute. Please talk to me in a way where I know it's not me talking to myself. Mm-hmm. And so I prayed that, and I had a dream. And as I was waking from my dream, he said, Julie, your faith will grow. And I knew it was him because I never say to myself, Julie. So he literally answered my prayer. Right. And in the way also, he gives me these few words, but they carry me through months, if not years, where I'll remember those moments that were so clear, and it just pushes me to like another level, and it's so encouraging. So I just want to encourage all of you, just ask him to be clear with you, and he will.
That's a really, really great reminder. As we move into, there's a couple thoughts I want to connect and pray over us today, but I actually just am sensing that maybe, can I ask you to pray for some of the moms? I'm on the spot just wondering if, Julie, you'd be willing to pray for some of those moms who are also been praying there for their kids for a long time, who might be wayward, and join together, taking a risk to, would you be willing to do that? Can we just, let's just think of those families and kids that we know, and if we're struggling with our own kids, I'm just going to invite Julie to pray for those situations right now.
Father, I thank you that you're here today. I thank you that you are El Roi, the God who sees us. Even in our valleys, even in our deserts, you see us. And a lot of the parents here, especially moms, that are feeling like they're in that lonely desert where it's been a while since they've seen real breakthrough. And it seems like nothing's happening. And I just want you to just encourage them that in your perfect timing, that things will move. And sometimes a long time can go by, nothing happens, and then all of a sudden, boom, everything just starts happening very quickly. And sometimes that's the way you work. And I just want to ask you, Lord, that for all of the parents who are really struggling and their hearts are just crying out to you, that you will send into their lives other believers who will come and support them, pray with them, that they will tell the truth and confess to one another, that you will give them breakthrough, but most of all, that through community, you will bring them comfort and peace, and that you will just reveal to them words of knowledge and truth about their children that will give them the hope, because you say that we have a future, we have a hope, and our children have a future and they have a hope as well. Please just show them that you are there in every bad situation, and that you will continue to be there. You are faithful when everything else seems so unknown and confusing. You are a rock. And I thank you, Father, for each parent here and the work that they do and will continue to do. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Julie. I want to say a huge thank you, and don't leave because I'm going to just leave a verse as well. But
I have a funny story.
Okay.
Can I tell it?
Tell a funny story.
So I know we have like a ton of young families in this church. So this is a funny story from my, and it's, I hope, a little bit of advice for you. It's from my early days. So I was big on my girls napping, and they were big nappers, so that was a good thing. Anyway, so one day we were sitting around the kitchen table, and my older daughter, who at the time was about 14 maybe, and so then, or maybe she was 13, so they were like 5 and 3, okay? So my 3-year-old is the one that pipes up. But anyway, we're around the kitchen table eating dinner, or no, I think it was lunch. I think it was lunchtime. And, you know, whatever was happening, and you know, and so my little, so, you know, whatever, I was grumpy. That's what was happening. I was very grumpy, okay? So, you know, whatever's happening at the lunch table. And all of a sudden, my 3-year-old pipes up and goes, she just mimicked. She pipes up and she looks at me. She goes, "Mommy, you need a nap." Because that's what I would say whenever they were grumpy. You need a nap. So for all of you mothers and fathers, you might need a nap. So there's my advice for you today.
That's so good. A nap and a snack sometimes, and we're on our way. Can you give these ladies a hand? Because they have done such a great job. We truly know that it takes courage to steward the lives of others, and it's not easy. And so thank you for sharing. One of the things that I just sensed for all of us today was just, again, as we learn to trust our big God who sometimes feels far away and we don't know if it's him speaking or it's us or the, you know, the tacos last night. It's so incredible to me that often we learn from other people, and that's because that's how we're wired, is for relationship. And learning and being educated and having an intellectual understanding of something is absolutely wonderful. But how much better to have that in real life applicable, right? You do labs. You do labs in your job. You do labs in your training. And so we can do this lab together in the body, and we can practice in the safety, hopefully, of the community of Christ. And we know that we're not perfect. We're quite well aware of that sometimes. And we weren't raised by perfect people in perfect homes with perfect families. But thanks be to God, who is perfection. And we don't know how to fully trust him because we've never had a perfect caregiver to show us this. But I love, at this stage of my life, getting to know on a deeper level who God really is and how much he really loves me, because I was created in his very own image. And so were you. No matter what age you are, no matter how purposeless you feel some days, or that you've messed up your kids, we actually can know and serve a redemptive God who can take all things that have happened in this earth, humanly speaking, and do something incredible with them. So as we close, there's a couple passages I just want to leave with you. One is through Psalm 27, which is entitled in the ESV, which isn't the translation I always read, but it's called a Psalm of Fearless Trust in God. Sometimes women are the most fearless warriors you could ever imagine. You just get, you know, between a goose and her gosling, and I walked way around them yesterday because I thought, I don't want to be attacked by this goose. Mama bears and their cubs, you don't ever want to get in between those relationships. And this is how jealous our God is for his relationship with you as well. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the refuge and fortress of my life. Whom shall I dread? For in the day of trouble, he will hide me in his shelter. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. Some of you need to hear this. Although my father and mother have abandoned me, the Lord will take me up and adopt me as his child. Wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait and confidently expect. Can I just invite you to close your eyes for a moment, and we're just going to reflect on this. Father, we need to know you more. We need to know your everlasting and faithful love more. And we need to know how to receive more of that. You are a God who is deeply loving. We thank you that you have set your eternal love upon us. You tenderly and wisely knit us together in our mother's wombs. We are your image bearers, who were skillfully crafted out of your divine affection. We just invite you, Holy Spirit, now to show us your tender mercies. You are stirred up with motherly compassion, for we are your children. We are the sheep of your pasture. O great shepherd, let us know your special favor day by day. Let us know in many ways how we are and how forever we will be special to you. Thank you, Father, that you hem us in. You enfold us. You encircle us. You surround us and wrap us in your love and protection, your grace and your mercy, your faithfulness, your patience. And you never give up. Thank you that as you come around us and tuck us in, we can know your protection and your sovereignty in every direction, before, behind, above, and beyond, in our past, our present, and our future. So come, I ask today, Jesus, for my friends, my brothers and sisters, come and reignite your sense of mothering and fathering, your parental love, and reattach us to the vine. Reattach us, Father, in that area that we may need, in our hearts, in our minds. Restore, Father, and redeem those things that need a reset today. In your strong and powerful name, I pray. Amen.